culture, society, on every street and around every bend lies a world positively overflowing with both. But sometimes, we can all use a night in, removed from the endless spiral of chaos and absolute nonsense that waits outside our doors. And for those nights, there's Drizzly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizzly, you can shop local stores and compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get your favorite drinks delivered to your door in under 60 minutes. All from the comfort of your couch. Because society is great, but it doesn't have your couch. And it's windy out, and you forgot your jacket. And oh my God, would you look at the line at that place? Are you serious? So download the Drizzly app or go to drizzly.com. That's drizzly.com today. You're listening to Hashtag No Filter with Zach Peter. That's me, your naturally platinum blonde pop culture connoisseur. I'm the reality TV junkie, self-improvement addict, and host with only the hottest tea spilled fresh weekly. For more hot takes, go and give me a follow at Just Plain Zach. I always keep it funny and I always keep it cute. And if you're like me and you want to stay up to date with the latest reality tea, give us a follow at No Filter with Zach on the Instagram, or you can always join our private Facebook group with the link in the description below. So I'm excited because last week we had Cherie on the show from Bling Empire, which has become one of my latest obsessions. And so I was like, I have to call him back so I can have him on the show because I just finished watching all of Bling Empire and I have so many juicy questions. You may know him as a recording artist or maybe a celebrity hairstylist. But I am most recently loving watching him on Netflix's new reality show, Bling Empire. Please welcome back on Hashtag No Filter, Mr. Guy Tang.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm super excited to be back on. Thank you for having me. And so how are you? You're loving Bling Empire?
I'm loving Bling Empire and I have so many questions for you, Guy.
Oh, I'm excited to hear them.
I think first up, I need you to explain to me what a penis pump actually does. Because you found one in Anna's shower, and I don't know what it actually, like, does it enhance sexual performance, or does it make it bigger? What does it do?
Well, it's supposed to make it bigger. It's supposed to, you know, some men have, like, you know, erectile dysfunctions, and maybe a weaker erectile situation. So the pump's supposed to help with that. And you're supposed to put a cock ring on afterwards to help hold the blood inside of the phallus. So that way you could proceed with sexual activities. Now, I own one, but I own one for pleasure, for fun, because that's just how I am. And I'm honest about it. And I said it on the show. I just didn't expect it to find it in Anna's shower. And that, a lot of people thought it was like scripted or something. No, that was not planned. Actually, we weren't even allowed to go into that room. Yeah. Because she's like, that room is off limits. And what you didn't see on camera was like, you know, me and Kim, you know, was going around. And I was like, I'm just curious what's in her shower because I, you know, I do hair. I'm always curious about what shampoo someone's using, and, you know, innocently. So I did not expect to find this giant penis pump in there. And it's actually a lot more, there was a lot more to it because there's fluids inside of the pump. Okay. That no one sees that on the camera, but in person, you can see like there's like cloudy fluids floating in there. And I was like, oh, so it's really gross. So, but you can see fluids coming out, you know, but not like the way I saw it from my point of view. So
and Kim had never seen a penis pump before. Like that was totally foreign to her.
She doesn't know what it was. And when I told her it's a penis pump, I mean, because it looks like it's something cylindrical, if that's the word, cylindrical. I don't know, like a cylinder that you put something in. Yeah. And she's like, that's gross. Throw it out. And we're all just having fun. And you know me, I'm kind of childlike. Yeah. I'm a kid. So And, you know, going into the show, I knew we're having fun. We're letting go. We're let go of our inhibitions. Don't worry, you know. And I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal, but she was really upset, probably more upset than what you saw on camera.
Interesting.
So, yeah, because, you know, I mean, you can only put so much into an episode.
Right, right, right.
With a person, it lasts a lot longer. And
were you surprised that she seemed to be more upset with Kim than you? Or were you just like, I'm not even going to dip in this one?
Well, there's a long story to it because there's so many scenes that didn't make the final cut because I actually filmed a lot. I was one of the main cast. So I filmed like as a main cast. So I believe like over 90% of my scenes didn't make it because they were a little bit heavy. They're very intense. And I think it was too intense for season one's story possibly because, you know, first I have a brand, I do music, right. I do hair, I'm a YouTuber, I have a history of racism, I'm gay, so I have, you know, these homophobic historical experiences, and to put all of that onto season one was like, it's just going to be, I think it's too powerful, and maybe people might not be able to digest the whole story, but so maybe they're saving some of it for season two, I'm not sure, but for at least season one, I go in knowing that, okay, I'm going to have this comedic penis pump scene. And me and there's scenes with me and Kim that didn't make it, that people don't see. And there's things that happen off camera that people don't see because me and Kim, we actually fight. We had like two fights prior to that that people didn't see. She's supposed to be on my music video and she ditched me. She bailed last minute. And that part didn't make the final cut to the show. So I didn't. That's the reason why I didn't have her back. That's why I wasn't like, oh, you're on your own, girl. I'm not going to defend you because I was already upset with her twice. And I think because Kim is known to be like that with everyone.
Yeah.
And I think there's only so much you could squeeze into an episode for people to understand the whole context of the situation. But I think, yeah, it was like, it was very disrespectful of her where I came in. And this is kind of like my first introduction to Anna.
Yeah.
So for me, she knew I was kind of like a child, like a kid, because when she met me, I was already, you know, childlike, if you will. So with Kim, it was a little bit more serious and more personal. And that's why she was upset with Kim. And it went on way longer than it was with me.
Do you think they made Kim out to be kind of like the villain of the season?
No, I think that she is it's hard to explain. Like she made a full circle. She went from being annoying or a villain person to being where you feel bad for her and you kind of empathize for her. And because I used to didn't like her for the longest time after she bailed out on me. But then we got closer after the show release. Then we all kind of have to hold on to each other because it was scary. We're all being scrutinized, judged by millions of people.
Yeah.
And we have no choice but to defend each other and be there for one another. And through that bond, we got closer and I understand her better. She's I would say like she's a very smart businesswoman. She's very beautiful, super talented. She knows what she wants. And that's the thing, you know, that's Kim. So, and I can respect that. So I actually texted her this morning. I went from being mad at her to loving her again, but that's our relationship.
Aww.
So
Who else would you say you're the closest to on the cast?
I originally am the closest to Kevin because he was, I'm actually the first person he met when he moved to LA because he flew out here to be in one of my music videos long time ago. I no longer have it up. Yeah, we actually made out in the music video. So he played my ex-boyfriend, so he kissed me in the music video. But I took that video down because I didn't like the way it was directed. But he, as an actor, he performs. Like, he's not afraid to kiss girls, guys, 10 people at once.
Well, then you need to send him my number then. I could use some help. I can use some makeout practice.
He's very confident. He's so confident. And I think that's why he was the perfect character to play, I mean, to be who he is on the show. He has so much dimension to who he is. I mean, he's like the golden boy on the show, but yeah, in person, he's so much more than that.
So how does he fit into the group? Because I feel like they showed us like a very affluent group of people. And then Kevin comes in and he is very honest that like he lives in an apartment and he has roommates and he doesn't have as much money as some of the other cast members. So how did he kind of get introduced to the group? Was it through you? Were these kind of your friends first?
Actually, it kind of happened opposite. When he came out here to LA to be in my music video, he then, because he was here, it was a great opportunity for him to meet Kelly. And Kelly was already a producer and everything like that. They became close friends, and she was already close friends with Kane. And then whenever I had my music video premiere, they were all, I invited him and I told him he could bring all his friends. So he brought all of them over to my house. And then we all got to know each other. And then Kelly and Kevin was like, oh my God, Guy should be on the show. I already knew Kevin was going to be on the show, but I didn't know they're going to ask me. And then our producer, Jeff Jenkins, who also produces Kim Kardashian, the Kardashian show, The Simple Life with Paris Hilton, Mariah's World for Mariah Carey. We, you know, just know his history. I said, okay, he knows what he's doing. And so we all got together. I remember going over there for, I don't know if it's audition or cast, I don't know what it is, but casting call, I guess, where I talk about myself and they record me and they're like, you're in. And I was like, oh, cool. But my story was so similar to Kevin because we grew up in a predominantly white state with, you know, very similar. He's adopted. I'm not. We both experienced a lot of like racism growing up and emasculation of Asian men. We didn't feel like we were represented. So we felt like we've always felt outcasted and we had to find our self-confidence. Our story is so similar, except I'm gay and he's straight. So that's how we attracted each other. But I think that our friendship, that's where it started from. And we work with a lot of the same photographers because I used to do modeling like 10 years ago. So
how do you feel like now that the show's out, people are, there's, you know, the reception to it. Do you feel like Asian culture has been represented accurately? Are there elements of your culture that you wish were displayed more on the show? Like, how do you feel?
Well, you know, this question, I know it's so controversial for so many of the cast members because it's like, it's an ongoing question. And what I believe is that we represent ourselves as Asian Americans in our individuality. Like I was talking about how I'm part of the LGBT community. He's a straight guy. We have Kim, Anna, who's biracial, you know, Kevin's adopted. I'm from a smaller town. Kane is from Singapore. Then you have Jamie, who's born into a trust fund. So she was born into money, wealth, where I didn't have much money. I struggled when I moved to LA. I build my empire from the ground up, you know, being a YouTuber, Instagrammer, music artist, you know, all this stuff. We're so different. So what I say is we do represent being human and being part of society as individuals who happen to be Asian Americans. And for me, that's a wide representation of everyone. And I know the title is called Bling Empire. And I personally don't believe I bring the bling. I think Christine brings the bling.
Yeah.
Anna brings the bling. Cherie brings the bling. I bring, from what they show of me, I bring the comedic part, but I really, the original stuff that I filmed brought a lot of pain and hardship because of the struggles and, you know, building an empire. So hopefully they get to show that in another season. But I think that showing that diverse range, because you get to see my husband as a cameo, but people don't really get to see our relationship, which we filmed, but it didn't make the final cut. We filmed a lot. There's a lot of stories between me and my husband. I felt like that would have represented the LGBT community, which is important, but I guess there's so much you can fit into a season. Hopefully we'll have room for that. So we're supposed to get news within, I was told like a week or two, if season two get green lighted. So
I can't see why not. I think it's such a hit and people are loving it. Do you like the comparisons to Crazy Rich Asians?
You know, I think that's a compliment because it's the most successful romantic rom-com in the last decade. That's a huge compliment. And even though for a lot of Asian Americans, they're like, that's not relatable. Not all Asians are rich. That fits into the model minority myth. So a lot of people are offended by it. I personally can't relate to the Crazy Rich Asian thing because I came from Oklahoma and my parents own a restaurant. So we had to work like, they had to work like 36 hours a day. Yeah. If there's enough hours. Yeah. So I wouldn't say that it, you know, it fits into a lot of us, but what happened is Crazy Rich Asian opened up that door for all of us to do more. And Bling Empire is another level. And I think that we're going to start seeing more diversity in movies of all types, not only rich Asians. I know that I've talked to so many people who are Asian, like myself. They're just like, oh no, not another stereotype. And even though it's a complimenting stereotype versus, oh, you know, some of the other degrading stereotypes that exist, it's still sometimes you feel pressure to live up to the stereotype. You feel pressure to live up to that status.
Yeah.
And not only that, but then you get treated differently because of the stereotype. Because media is a representation of who we are.
Right.
And people treat you differently. When they think you're rich, they treat you differently. And then you start to realize, oh, okay, so now you expect me to do this because you think I'm rich.
Right.
So I think that's the struggle that a lot of people face. So not all good stereotypes is a good thing.
Right. So was there any hesitancy with joining the show? Like, what was kind of the pitch that they gave to you? Did you know it was going to be Bling Empire?
No, I think when we first started, it was something of like a Crazy Rich Asian type of theme. And it was more of like an all Asian American cast type of concept. And it was the scary thing was like a lot of my friends were like, oh, you know, they might edit you a certain way. They might intercut things, make you look crazy. And it's scary because you put everything out there.
Right.
And like I had so many people got mad at me because of the penis pump because they were Team Anna.
Yeah.
And so people were like, you know, I'm unfollowing you. And then I lost like all these followers like over the week.
No.
And people left me like mean comments in my DM. Yeah, but then I think the first 2 weeks were the hardest to get through, even though I was in a smaller scene. So I can imagine some of my castmates that are, you know, like Christine, who was kind of villainized in a way, but she's such a sweetheart. Like, I know Christine personally, and all she does is give. She constantly give, and she does things where she customizes it to fit each person. Like, she gets my name, you know, embroidered or on custom things to make it personalized, you know? So...
Are you Team Christine or Team Anna?
Well, I'm closer to Christine, but I also don't want to choose because of my biasm. I will have to say, like, they're both powerful women and they both stand in their own lane and they're completely different. They're so different. But I'm personally closer to Christine. Yeah.
I adored Christine. Watching her, the glam, the outfits, like... I don't think I could even pick a side whether I would pick like Team Anna or Team Christine. I love their dynamic together because it's fun to watch.
Christine's hair, like she has different wigs, different outfits.
Yeah.
She brings the bling. I think if anything, like the show would have not been Bling Empire without Christine.
Yes.
Yeah. She is like the queen and I have so much love for her.
So should they want to do a second season, you're 100% down?
Yeah, definitely. Oh my God, it's so much, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of work. I can't explain to you how much pressure and work it is. And the reason why I say that is because you have to be so comfortable with yourself with like, was it four cameramen in your house with a whole crew outside the garage watching you, and you have to pretend none of that exists, but they're there. Yeah. But you have to pretend you don't see anybody. You just be yourself throughout the day. And any move you make can turn into something. And that's the scary part. And that's why it's like you're always like, you know, but you also have to be real and honest, because when the cameras aren't around, you're yourself, you're talking. And I think a lot of people who sign up for doing shows like this, I think that's why there's so many relationships that gets broken up in the past. Like people's relationships is very damaging, because you don't know, you know, what's happening on a show and what's happening off camera. It all blurs. The line blurs together. And and when the media speculate and the fandom happens, it's like, oh, team this, team that. What happens is it becomes so even more real to a whole nother level, where it affects all of your friendship and relationship. And you have to have communication within your cast members to be like, we can't let the viewers make us fight and hate each other.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to happen. And it's so easy to fall apart, because once the spotlight is on you, you start to believe everything, and it becomes like a whole nother level of drama.
Have you talked to Kelly at all? I feel like we watched her relationship really kind of go through the ringer on the show, that I can only imagine how hard that is for her now with everyone weighing in and having their opinions.
Kelly is very professional. She is she's very mature. The whole situation with Andrew, I know him off camera. I know him before the show. I never saw that side of him. So I didn't even know all this was going on, to be honest. So I guess it was going on, and maybe moments got extracted that were more dramatic.
Yeah.
So it becomes a lot more highlighted. And I felt, you know, I was like, okay. So because I know Andrew as a person, I wanted to just talk to him as a human being, not as who I saw on the show.
Right.
And well, he definitely, you know, he's a human being. We all get hurt. And I try to be there for both of them, all of them. I try to be there for all of them to have someone to listen to, because it was tough after the show got aired. All of us were feeling, you know, all the tension that was happening, every single one of us. You know, so except for Kane, because he's just like living his best life. He doesn't care.
Kane, so. Oh my God. Kane is like a spirit animal that like you just love to watch, because you're like the shoes and the fashion and the lifestyle. He's got it down.
Yeah, we actually hung out, I believe, 3 days ago, and I got to know him even better, because when I first met him, I was like, Kevin, I don't know if I like him, you know, and I just didn't really get a good first impression of him when I first met him. But I was like, well, if Kevin likes him, then I'm going to do my best to get to know him. And as time went by, I got to know him better. And he's really funny. And he's really loud.
Yeah.
And he's very extra. I know there's so many comments about his features and stuff like that. And he's just out there, you know, so yes. I applaud him for that. But Cherie, though, we got a lot closer. We actually had a few scenes that didn't make the final cut, but those scenes were so precious. And I don't want to say too much what those scenes are, because they might even make their way into season 2. Because I was told not to say anything about any scenes, because you might see them intertwining into the second season. So I said, okay, I can't say anything. But we definitely, she talked about her passion for music. She loves music. She was a recording artist. And I believe that because of what's happening in her life, or, you know, like the labels, they make different decisions for you, and they could shelve you. I don't know what their story is, but I didn't want to go into too much detail, but I know her dream is to make more music. So I told her, hey, you know, why don't we make a single together? We can try to work with like another major artist who is a rapper or a collaborator that we could put into a song. And she was so excited. So we've been in talks about that. So maybe we'll see something.
Ooh, so, I hope so. That would be fun.
Well, we already booked a studio session in 2 weeks.
It's happening. I love
it. Yeah, and I already started writing the song already. So I call her up and I read her some of the lyrics I wrote down. And she's like, I don't know about that. It's like, listen, once you hear the melody and the production, it sounds a lot better than what you think it is.
So speaking of music, you have a new album that's dropping this weekend, right?
Yes, 1981 is the name of the album.
I
worked on this for over 2 years. And I know, like, when I was on here talking to you last time, I released Multi-Perspective, but that album is more of an EP, not an LP. So it's more of like, I like a couple songs, I just want to put it out. But this one's a full album, a project that I've been working on for 2 years because I was born in the 80s. And 1981 is my birth year. And I feel like what's interesting is like you see the 80s really popping back with like The Weeknd, Miley Cyrus, Sia, so many 80s influence and music during 2020. I've been working on this since the beginning of 2019. And I'm so proud to finally put it out. And Marco and Ashla has directed all the music videos for it. And we had, I think we filmed eight music videos already that we haven't released.
Wow.
So, yeah. Well, because some of them have huge parties and stuff. And we filmed this back in 2019. And I was like, okay, I don't know if I want to release this in 2020 because my first single was called Dead to Me. Right off of my album, and I was like, I don't think this is I don't want to be tone deaf, this is insensitive, people don't understand what the word dead to me mean because they'll take it out of context, this is not a good year to release it, I want to wait for 2021. And you know, because this dead to me doesn't contextually, it's more of a, was it metaphorical, like you're speaking of like I'm over you,
right
like you're dead to me, not literal,
right?
Like, I want you dead. So it's like, okay, well, I want to hold this song back. So that song is going to end up being my second single. My first single is going to be Eye of the Storm, and I'm excited about that. And I actually worked with a singer named Cheryl Kay in it, and she's actually the singer of Crazy Rich Asians movie. She's the in the soundtrack, you hear her with Awkwafina from the opening and the ending song. So yeah, so Cheryl Kay is the singer of Crazy Rich Asians, and she'll be on my album for a song called Ready to Love. So I'm excited about that. So yeah, 22 tracks, by the way. There's 22 tracks.
That's a long album.
That's a lot. And the cool thing about being an independent artist is that you could do whatever you want, and you're not being told who to be, how to be. And so I think that people are getting something that's very, very authentic and true to what I want to release. So I'm proud of that.
So are all the songs, they have like an 80s influence?
Yes. I would say it's from early 80s to early to mid 90s type of sound, because you hear like the soft rock of the 80s, but then you also hear a little bit of the alternative rock in one of the songs near the end of the album. And you also hear like R&B influences from the 80s up to early 90s R&B. And then you hear a little bit of like the early 80s breakdancing hip hop type of beats into it. And then you also get, so it's a combination of everything. You get ballad, soft rock, R&B, hip hop, is everything combined. And the reason why I chose to be that way, and marketing wise for most label artists, they don't like to do that. They like the whole album to sound the same. But the reason why for me, I feel like I want, one of the things I love about turning on the radio is you hear all types of music on the radio, right? I want it to sound like an 80s radio station. You turn on the radio, you hear all 80s music, but you hear all the 80s and early 90s sound. And the only song that really doesn't sound 80s on the album would probably be track one, Eye of the Storm. That's more in present time because I want to open up a like a story, and then we go back in time, and that's in track two. So, you know, like the first song is kind of an anthem. It's very intense, very deep. And the music video was filmed outside, very cold. It was also in the cold rain.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, Marco and Asha was like looking at me like, oh my God, because it was like freezing temperatures. And I cannot wait to show the video. It's very intense. So in the song, it's very emotional because I'm involved 100% in all of my songs. I come up with the concept of every single track. I write. And of course, I have collaborations and partners that co-write with me. So we write together to bring my vision to life. I work with 3 different producers on this that I love working with to bring it to life. And I think the world's ready to go back in time after a very crappy year.
I know, so, I am.
Yeah, how was your 2020?
Too long. Good. I mean, if anything, 2020 really helped me be more resilient, helped me come up with new innovative ways to keep the show going. Obviously, I'm not in the studio, so we're doing everything with like ring lights and via Zoom. And so, you know, it was a challenging year, but I think a lot of us are, you know, hopefully coming into 2021 with a different mindset, hopefully a little more compassionate for everyone around us, you know.
Do you think you're going to go back in the studio anytime soon?
I sure hope so.
Soon, right? Because a lot of the cases has gone down.
Yeah,
and things we're seeing a ray of light happening.
Yes.
So my husband got vaccinated, and he told me a lot. He's a nurse, so he told me all the cases has gone down so much at Cedars. So it's definitely a good sign that we are on a road to recovery, because things are getting better. So hopefully you get to go back in the studio soon.
Fingers crossed. I can't wait. But I'm also kind of like, but I don't know if I'm ready to like go back into the studio. I'm so comfortable just being here on my couch and comfy.
Do you find yourself being, not the word lazier, but I read some articles where like pilots to like, that are flying right now, they're not landing where they should be or landing in time, because like I also, oh my God, I don't want to be on that plane, but like people, their mind aren't functioning as normal because of, I don't know what it is, it's like the lag.
I definitely feel it. And focusing sometimes, or just like getting through the day, or getting what I need to get done, I'm a little slower at knocking things off the to-do list.
Do you think it's because you're at home and too comfortable? Do you think that could be the
case? I think it's both. I think it's a combination of like being too comfortable and being like, oh, I can just do it later. I don't have to sit in traffic commuting anywhere, so I have that extra time to just be home and I can do it later. And then later becomes, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow becomes, oh, I'll just do it next week.
Except you can't miss a hair appointment,
you
right?
You can't miss a hair appointment.
No, because you know what happens when it grows out an extra centimeter? You're going to have some trouble with banding issues and breakage.
I know.
Yeah, that's been a struggle. I think the hardest thing, I think that one of the questions that came up with me and Jeff Jenkins, our producer for Bling Empire, is like, okay, well, how are we going to film season 2 during this? It's like, are we going to be wearing masks? Are we going to get tested? I mean, how are we going to pretend this didn't exist, or where do we pick up, like how, you know, and how do you throw parties anymore? How do you create events? Like all the sensation that you saw in season 1. But the interesting thing is we actually have so many scenes and parties and events in season 1 that didn't even show up. So I think that you may see them resurface for season 2, because it's kind of like, because that's the only way you get to really showcase that type of, because you can't invite like 200 people anymore.
Right,
that's
right,
impossible
right.
to. I mean, listen, when you're trying to film during these hard times, I mean, it's a struggle because of the, what you call that, we do the rapid testing or some of the testing, and some of them show up false, or you know, false positives or negatives, and it becomes a whole situation with filming, and that is no fun.
No.
Let me tell you. So, but definitely, yeah, I think that the thing that we could look forward to is, you know, within the next week or two, it's definitely news on whether we're going to get season 2. So we cross our fingers.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so too, because everything has been pointed, you know, like everything has been pointing towards yes. So, yes. And then maybe you'll see me and Cherie make a song or something.
I would love that. I need, Cherie needs to get back out there. I'm ready for some music by Cherie.
Our genres are a little bit different. She likes a lot of K-pop music, which I like too, but I like a lot like R&B type of feel and soft rock. So we have different genres and favorites. So it'll be interesting to see us come together to see what we come up with. So I'm super excited about that. And I just got a new puppy that's a Pomeranian, which I'm excited about. One of the things that made me kind of sad was my Pekingese that passed away on Christmas Eve. She was on the show a lot and that whole scene got cut out, but I was like, but like I said, we never know. It might make it into the next season. So
fingers crossed. I'm rooting for season two, and I can't wait to see all this hidden footage that we're not going to be able to see just yet.
I know. I think that once people see more, they would understand so many things, like who did the penis pump belong to?
Do we know who it belonged to?
Well, you know what? We didn't know who it belonged to for the longest time because no one wanted to confess. But I was told a couple days ago who it belonged to, but I can't say.
Is it I'm not someone allowed to on say. The cast?
I don't know. I was told I wasn't allowed to say anything, but I found out and I was like, oh, it was interesting because you never know. We might find out in season two who it belongs to.
Now we need to know. We're going to make it a trend on Twitter now.
It's probably the most memorable dramatic scene.
Right.
I'll call it infamous. It's the most infamous scene because it's famous for all the wrong reasons.
I know, but it was so good. Where remind everybody when the album drops and when we can look forward to a music video.
Yes, February 26th is when the album officially come out, 1981, on all digital platforms. And then you can pre-order on iTunes and Amazon now. And I'm excited for it. And the music video should drop Sunday, which is the 28th. So that is going to be super, super exciting.
I can't believe that's already this weekend. Where did February go?
I know. I feel like this year is going to go by pretty quick, too. So I know. 2022.
I know.
But yes. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Thank you so much, Guy. I can't wait to listen to the new music. I've been in a very 80s mood lately, too, that I think I'm going to really like this new album. What is your Instagram where people can go and follow you and give you mean, nice things in your DMs? No more mean messages.
Yes, Guy_Tang on Instagram. And you just search Guy Tang on all platforms, including Facebook, TikTok, Clubhouse, or whatever. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm everywhere. So
I love it.
So I'm excited.
Well, thank you so much, Guy. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful week. I'm wishing you nothing but success with the new album. And if anybody has not finished Bling Empire on Netflix, you're going to want to go watch it right now and get ready. And we're going to manifest that season two right now.
Oh, you'll find out when you follow me on Instagram, because we'll probably all
announced. I'm sure you'll pop bottles when it happens.
Yes.
All right, thanks, Guy.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye. Thank you guys for listening to #NoFilter with Zach Peter. That's me. You can give me a follow at @JustPlainZach. Don't forget to follow Guy at @Guy_Tang, and be sure to get his new album out this weekend, this Friday. Get ready. I can't wait. I'm feeling very 80s vibes, and I cannot wait to listen to all of it. Okay, bye.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.